The 15th annual Jazz in the Valley Festival takes place this Sunday, August 16th, where there will be an outpouring of music on two stages featuring the likes of legendary bassist Ron Carter, along with leading musicians such as pianist Bill Charlap's trio, saxophonist Javon Jackson and Tia Fuller, percussionist Steve Kroon, and pianist Arturo O'Farrell's octet. So there will be a lot of world-class talent under the Big Tent with a global food court and marketplace at the park on the Hudson River shoreline in Poughkeepsie. The festival is presented by TransArt, a Hudson Valley-based nonprofit educational organization. Greer Smith is with that organization and is president of Jazz in the Valley and joins us this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you here.
Oh, thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. Wonderful pleasure. So how did 15th annual, so how did Jazz in the Valley begin?
Jazz in the Valley began as an afternoon of music and art. We got a grant from the New York State Council on the Arts, and we commissioned Ahmed Jamal to do a piece on the beauty of the Hudson Valley. He was sitting at his kitchen window. He was living in Stanfordville at the time, and said, well, this is picture perfect, and that was the name of the tune. It debuted at that afternoon of music, and it grew into what is now Jazz in the Valley.
And the goal was always to do what?
The goal was to present this music in a way that was accessible to people. Jazz gets a kind of a bad rap sometimes. People think it's a head trip. It's for intellectuals. But as we quote the great Duke Ellington, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. And when folks are exposed to it, they understand that it comes in many forms, in many packages, and we need to keep this going because it is the bedrock of our popular culture here in America.
At what point in putting this together, do you know when you've covered all your bases? You know, as far as and finding all the different groups that, oh, okay, this is what I want to accomplish.
Well, I use myself as the barometer for what works and what doesn't. I was lucky to be born at a time where I heard a lot of music, unlike young people today. I grew up, of course, appreciating the music of my time, which was Motown, but I heard other things. Today, people don't get a chance, young people don't hear anything but what they listen to, which is what was created since about 1990. So I shake it up. And this is music of the spirit, and it feels right, and I go with it.
So talk a little bit about this year's lineup. And this all takes place, and it's
Warriors Park
in Poughkeepsie.
Downtown Poughkeepsie, which is significant.
Yeah. Why is this significant?
Like most cities, small cities around the Hudson Valley, it's going through a difficult time financially. This kind of program is an economic driver because the level of programming that is displayed on this Sunday afternoon, people will come to see it. It's a destination. And we are now working with the city of Poughkeepsie to make that. We call ourselves the new port of the Catskills. So we have undoubtedly the greatest lineup between Albany and New York City in one place on one day.
Mm-hmm. Have you always had it at the park?
No, the park is new. We outgrew our space. We used to be at the Hudson Valley Resort and Spa. Mm-hmm. And actually, when Ahmed Jamal did it, we were at a winery. And we kept growing and growing and growing. So it was suggested that we move to Poughkeepsie. They could use us. And we've got a new home, and we've got a place to fill up.
Wonderful. So you move into the park, and you're downtown. And you talk about the lineup and how impressive it is. So give us a sense of how the day will unfold.
The day kicks off with Steve Kroon, who's a wonderful percussionist who spent a lot of years with Luther Vandross, actually, because Luther Vandross's musical director was Nat Adderley. And it's the other thing about this music, the best of this music, when we talk about popular music, I mentioned Motown earlier,
right.
the bass, the bottom, the bedrock of Motown were all jazz musicians. The Funk Brothers were all jazz musicians, but they had to earn a living. That's the other reason why this program is important. These folks that created this wonderful music have no pensions, have no health care. So more times I get to work, the better it is. So when you come in, you see Steve Kroon, you roll into Bill Charlap. Bill Charlap was chosen because we are honoring Ahmad Jamal, who stopped performing regularly. So we're paying homage to him by having some of the best pianists in the business perform on Sunday. Bill Charlap has Kenny Washington and Peter Washington as with his trio. Next, you roll into Tia Fuller. Tia Fuller is wonderful. She actually was part of Beyonce's all-girl band, but her training, her considerable training, comes out of the jazz idiom. She is now teaching at Berkeley, which isn't very impressive, and she has her own group. They will be there next up. Then we roll into something that I'm very excited about. Our artistic director is Mr. Javon Jackson, and he will be performing with the master bassist, Ron Carter. Ron Carter, you know, is one of the few folks that are left from that wonderful Miles Davis quintet. They will be performing together. It's a sneak preview for the audience because they have a CD that'll be dropping in the fall. They're going to premiere it at Jazz in the Valley. And we end the day with Arturo O'Farrell and the octet. The energy, we want people to walk away tapping their feet, feeling good. We call it church because the spirit is so high, and that's what the day looks like.
A beautiful day. One of the things that always impresses me about jazz and about jazz musicians is, and your lineup certainly expresses this, which is that there is the mixing of the young and old, the contemporary and the classic, and the great I don't think I overuse this word, the responsibility that jazz artists have in teaching younger jazz artists.
Absolutely. That looks for the jazz musician, for the jazz artist, the young ones coming up, which is why our second stage is so important, because we have a lot of local talent, a lot of young folks on that stage. But the audience itself, our audience is aging. And we have to do whatever we can, and our intergenerational programming helps fill that gap. We have to introduce young people to this music now.
And that idea of now is important, because I just think, if not you, who, right? If you all aren't doing it, then who is going to do it? Because there aren't many opportunities out there for it. I mean, there's wonderful programs, don't get me wrong, but they're rare.
They are rare, and we have to take the music to where people live.
Right.
The first thing that gets cut are the school programs for this music. So getting them into the public schools is a big, big part of what we do whenever we can. Everybody agrees to do our in-school program just so folks can hear it.
And once they hear it, have you got them, or it takes a little?
You get them.
Yes.
It's the follow-up that is the difficult part, because we have to keep getting them.
Yeah.
What we found in particularly in what we would call Hudson Valley is very interesting, because we're always going after the grant money. We always have to describe what exists in the Hudson Valley. When people hear Hudson Valley, they think about the river, they think about picking apples and pumpkins and you know, these bucolic landscapes, but there is a city, there is a urban existence that is in the Hudson Valley. There are marginalized communities in the Hudson Valley, and our job is to bring this music to them. Most times, this is the first live performance a lot of young people have ever seen when we bring the musicians into the schools. They look to see how their partner sitting next to them responds, because the music is good. You can't deny it. It's infectious. Right. And they always look to see how little Jamil and little Khadijah is responding before they do. And when they see it, they're in it. And because the people that are doing it and creating it look just like them.
Mm-hmm. It is, it's an all-day affair.
And, yes, it is.
And that's important too, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You can come at any time. You can go between the stages. You can look at the water. Unlike a lot of these events, the audience does see the water at the same time they're looking at the artist perform. It's easy to get to. You take Metro North or Amtrak. You get off at the Poughkeepsie Station. You walk right down the hill. You're right there.
Wow. Wow. As far as trans art, what is that?
Trans art is a nonprofit multidisciplined arts organization located in the Hudson Valley. We do the art, history, and popular culture of people of African descent.
And this is obviously one main thing.
This
that
is
you
a
do,
major but program.
But there are others.
Yes, we do exhibitions on history, fine art, in school presenting programs, in school art programs, out of school, after school programs.
For folks that want to come and catch a part, if not all, of Jazz in the Valley, the easiest way to do that is
to go online to jazzinthevalleyny.org. It's jazzinthevalleyny.org.
JazzInTheValleyNY.org for more information. Music starts at noon on Sunday in Warriors Park in Poughkeepsie, all part of Jazz in the Valley. And again, you can find out more information by going to www.JazzInTheValleyNY.org. Greer Smith is president of Jazz in the Valley and joins us this morning, and we're so pleased to have you here. We wish you all the luck in the world for a beautiful Sunday.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.